This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Presented by Garrettson Building Supply, another candidate interview, Republican candidate for governor, Dr. Bud Pierce joining us. Good morning.
Good morning, Kyle.
So you were down here yesterday, late afternoon, into the early evening. Talk about what brought you to Roseburg.
Yeah, great visit, great day. Like to visit, like to get out. Came down, especially was interested in FCC, your local great company that is so vertically integrated and from beginning to end creates furniture for fast food restaurants. Really an interesting niche market. You think about In-N-Out and Taco Bell and Burger King and many others, and 150,000 square feet, 130 or so employees, $30 million in revenue. So modern. I mean, it goes through there, you're overwhelmed. So it's just great to find out, you know, how business is going and what could, you know, be done to support business, because to have a great economy, for people to have a great life, to have great jobs, we need, you know, great job creators. And then met with news, your news review in town there, and, you know, got to be interviewed by one of your outstanding staff members. They're going to write something about me today. Hopefully it'll be good. You know, you always hope that when you're a candidate, when you get interviewed by the local newspaper. And then ended up at Looking Glass Brewery. I think we had 40-plus people who showed up and listened to me speak and fired a lot of questions about what was on their mind. So it's a great day for a candidate.
What kind of things were people asking about last night?
Well, it was interesting. A lot of the issues swirled around homeless, drug addicted individuals who are disrupting lives, suffering themselves as individuals, you know, living on the streets, you know, the criminality that goes along with that. And people really want that to stop. They want to have their life back. They want to be able to go to public places and feel secure and safe. They feel badly, as I do, about people that are so addicted to drugs and struggling with alcoholism and street drugs and also mental illness, and how we get them the help they need for their good and for our good. So it was a robust discussion around. There are a lot of other topics, but that was hot. That was very hot.
What do you think the state's role in that homeless issue should be?
Well, I think when people are to the point where they're living on the streets and in the parks forests and along the rivers, people need to be taken to permanent shelters. I think the state's role is to provide the stable funding for those shelters to exist, and then for private money and private individuals to weigh in and begin the hard work with those suffering individuals to help them transform to much more productive lives. And that means generally getting off of drugs or having some, switching of drugs, if it's opioids in some cases, getting off the alcohol, getting the mental illness treated, and then re-engaging life. And I feel good that many people will take advantage of that if we create the right structure and incentives, and a strong disincentive, which is if you won't do that, and you won't better yourself, and you can't provide for yourself at least basic housing, and you find yourself back on the streets or in the parks or wherever you are, then you are breaking the law, you get arrested, and you're just going to have to be housed in a much different way for a period of time, i.e. life incarceration, because we've got to have a stick along that. People just can't be allowed to live on the streets and in the parks and be disruptive to us. And also their intense suffering of living that lifestyle and their shortened life expectancy and just that degraded life can't be allowed to occur in our Oregon.
Do you feel like your medical experience, decades of being a doctor, sort of helps you look at this issue?
Oh, yeah, and I had tremendously, because it's not unusual to have people come in out of control. Well, not usual, but people come to the hospital out of control, unable to care for themselves or fend for themselves. And we, you know, we impose solutions on them. I mean, we don't try to do anything to harm them. We're trying to help them. And when people are so out of control that they can't control basic functions of life, you have to step in, and in a kind and caring, frankly, loving and transparent way, you just need to help them, and you need to force help upon them. And we do have to do that in medicine along the way. I've been at this 45 years since I started medical school, and these suffering souls, their suffering, our suffering, need to stop. They need to be forced to receive the help that they need to receive. Again, it's very careful, free society. I'm aware of all those things. I'm a Republican. But you get to the point where there's so much human suffering and degradation, people just have to be forced into betterment. And as they clear up and their mind clears and they do better, then they reestablish control over their lives, and they're free to do what they want to do. But that we need to step in.
Recent days, the state revenue forecast came in. What were your thoughts about that?
Well, lots of money flowing in. You know, I always think about the people who are paying the taxes should get a rebate, and it's their money, and as much as possible back to the taxpayers, and to stimulate the real economy. And I think that government is taking a large part of our work output, and that I always believe that government should be lean and frugal. Function at a high level, but minimal impact on our free daily lives, and the money should be back in our hands in the main, so that again we can create the lives and the economy that we want. So it's a different philosophy when Republicans look at revenue. If there's excess revenue, they want to make it go back to the taxpayers. Again, we really want to lean down our government and get it functioning on the essentials and stay out of the daily operations and practical aspects of our lives.
What are some of your top priorities if you were elected governor? What would be the first things you'd be tackling?
Well, again, the number one is the homeless issue, and that factors into public safety. And so homeless off the streets, out of the parks, out of the rivers, the banks, out of the forests. At the same time, we don't have a civilization if people and property are not protected. So at the same time, a robust revitalization of law enforcement. I love a lot of invisible law enforcement. I had an interesting trip recently to Disneyland, of all places, in California. I did ride the roller coaster. It's kind of fun as a 65-year-old. And they have so much security there, but it's invisible. People are safe. They move around. They get along. They don't. The stress is down. So we need, uniformed law enforcement and such. But, a lot of non-scene security, prevention of crime, getting criminals off the streets, safety for the citizens. At the same time, the suffering souls are on the streets and living such degraded lives, and we have to watch it and they have to suffer it. We need to end that also. Those are the two main priorities.
What would your relationship be with members of the legislature?
Well, I think it'd be great. I'm a person that, along with building our practice, which is now a very large practice, I've been involved heavily in charitable efforts in our community. I mean, building things like getting a Croc Center, an insurance plan for uninsured, building a resource center here, a homeless house when I was leading the United Way, revitalizing our United Way. These are people of all kinds of political spectrums and backgrounds and races and religions. I take it as an approach to solving problems. I'm really uninterested in the political process, other than you can't get elected to be into leadership if you don't engage a political process. But after that, I'm uninterested, other than I want problems solved. I want to get things done. It's all about solutions, staying on track. Leadership is getting people to coalesce around a problem, a solution, and then going forward the solution, giving authority and accountability to the people who are put in charge of helping solve the problem. And when barriers come up, the leader knocks down the barriers and, again, keeps people on track and compliments people and works with them. And I don't think I'll have any trouble. I've never had trouble working with a wide variety of people in my life, and I think I'll have a good relationship by staying focused on solutions, not politics.
Some people running for governor would point to their personal political experience. You come into it from a different angle. Why do you think that's advantageous?
Well, we have the most experienced people in the world leading our state. If you look at the state leadership now, with the governor, Speaker of the House, and the Senate president, we could never in the history of this state come up with more political experience to lead us forward. It's utterly failing. Utterly failing. And I think that people who are in politics generally love to talk about problems, argue about problems, pass legislation and sign it, call it good. People in the trenches of life say, we need a plan. We need to gather our resources. We need to have people that sign, buy onto the plan, the problem needs to be solved, buy onto the plan and engage. It's about 5% planning, about 95% execution. Political class generally has zero experience in execution. And it's all about leadership. It's about staying on top of it and driving to success. And we need someone else. And whether it's me or another candidate who, frankly, isn't wedded to the political process of talk, no action, we need change. And that's why I run.
And is that why you think there are so many people? I think now 32 people running for governor.
Well, we only have, I think we have 730,000 registered Republicans. So that still leaves us 799,600 or 968 people that might step in. Just joke a little bit there. I think it's because people that believe that they can lead the state on a better path are stepping in. There's an open seat, so that's a huge advantage when there's no incumbent. And with Betsy Johnson stepping in as a, quote, outsider who's been in the legislature the last 20 years, who's a Democrat who happens to be pro-gun and occasionally sides with business, and has is favorable to timber because that's her family source of money and wealth. With her stepping in, a lot of us look at it and say she can divide the vote with Tina Kotek or whoever, just like Ross Perot and George Bush divided the vote, which allowed Bill Clinton to get in. So everyone is looking at that calculus, says it's doable for a Republican this time. It's doable for an outsider. Very likely a change election. If you ever want to run for governor and have a real chance, this is probably your chance.
And connect people with where they can find out more about you. Talk about your website.
Sure. Go to budpierce.org. It's robust. You'll see me. You'll see a schedule of upcoming events. Love to meet you. Love to have you join the effort. And I really encourage people to get involved in politics, get behind their candidate, enjoy it, weigh in. I'm totally comfortable with the people deciding. I'm here in my office today practicing medicine. I'm campaigning. I'm practicing. We'll have an election on the 17th. If I'm the victor on the Republican side, I go forward. If not, I'll be back on the 18th practicing medicine. I'm a contributor. I'm a citizen in the trenches of life. I think I can lead us to a better future. I'd encourage you to support me, but just get involved and be part of the solution.
All right. Dr. Bud Pierce, running for governor as a Republican. Thanks for being on this morning.
Thank you, Kyle. Have a great day.
842 Morning Conversation, a presentation of Garrett's Building Supply.